This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 13th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll look at how the United States and Canada are fighting invasive species in the Great Lakes by checking the ballast tanks of ships a little more closely. Also got a forecast from meteorologist Scott Olthoff. First, today's news. The Champaign School Board has now become the 12th school board in Champaign County to endorse a school sales tax referendum. The vote means school boards for a majority of the county's public school enrollment now have endorsed that one-cent sales tax, ensuring it a place on the November ballot. Champaign School Board President Dave Tomlinson says money from the tax would pay off existing school construction bonds and allow for lower property taxes. He says it would also pay for needed school buildings in Unit 4, including a new classroom space north of University Avenue, as required by the district's racial equity consent decree.
I think the biggest thing, besides those things, it does is allows us to do ongoing maintenance projects that we maybe haven't been able to do because maybe they're larger in nature than the existing operations and maintenance dollars that we have.
The Mahomet Seymour and Heritage School Boards will vote on the sales tax proposal in the next few days. Tomlinson predicts they'll endorse it too. The Champaign County Board is expected to take action next month on putting that referendum on the ballot. The Urbana City Council has voted to endorse a ban on text messaging while driving, but talking on cell phones while driving would be punished only when it happens in the course of an accident. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Alderman Charlie Smythe made the original proposal to ban cell phones while driving. He says any cell phone use behind the wheel is a dangerous distraction, whether handheld or hands-free. But city staff argued that little is known about whether such bans are effective or enforceable. They recommended fining drivers $750 when they use a cell phone during an accident, and they called for a study of cell phone use by motorists. Smythe says that's a start, but that the danger of cell phone use while driving requires a total ban.
I will keep fighting for this particular city ordinance while I'm on the council. I think it's an important issue, and you know they can go off and collect data. I think that the problem here with trying to collect data is that people are going to be even more reluctant to admit to using a cell phone, given all the attention that has been played on this issue.
Smythe was able to get a ban on text messaging while driving added to the proposal. His amendment to add a full cell phone ban failed for lack of a second. Urbana City staff will now prepare a formal version of the ordinance for the council to see at a future meeting. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Urbana's next proposed budget relies heavily on the funds generated by retail development. The $46 million spending plan is just over 4% more than the current year's. City Comptroller Ron Eldridge says, though it's a tight budget, due in large part to a hike in the cost of fuel, pensions, health insurance, and maintenance supplies. $400,000 in revenue is helping cover those areas. Still, Eldridge admits that public works is one area that's spread a little thin.
I think that there's no question that we're asking them to really stretch those, maybe even beyond what they can do to fix the same number of potholes and the same number of lighting supplies, but they're pretty creative when it comes to that, and so I think they can do that for next year. To ask them to do that year after year after year is not realistic.
But Eldridge says Urbana should not see a fiscal crisis over the next 12 months. That's partly due to the new Meijer store opening this fall on Philo Road. He says it's not only providing a boost in sales tax, but is a large part of an anticipated 5% increase in assessed property value. Urbana's property tax rate will also remain in place. The proposed fiscal plan is now available for public review at the city building or on its website. The city council votes to adopt that spending plan June 16th. Political fundraiser Tony Rezko's defense attorney ripped into the government's star witness against his client yesterday. He described him as an admitted lifelong liar and swindler whose brain was all but rendered useless by 3 decades of abusing powerful narcotics. Joseph Duffy began the defense's closing arguments yesterday, and prosecutors are expected to give their rebuttal later today. Rezko's charged with scheming with Levine to split a $1.5 million payoff from a contractor who wanted state permission to build a hospital in Crystal Lake. The key to getting a statewide construction program in Illinois could hinge on who controls the money. Lawmakers have become increasingly distrustful of Governor Rod Blagojevich, who has gone back on previous deals and broken promises. Senate Republican leader Frank Watson of Greenville says it's been a problem for the GOP as well as for Blagojevich's fellow Democrats. Watson says the lack of trust has been raised during recent closed-door negotiations.
This was something that the speaker put out last year, was that we'll send those projects to another state agency or another constitutional officer, and that then we'll deal with the constitutional officer on releasing those particular projects and not the governor. That was brought up.
No word on how the governor feels about the idea. Those who want new roads, bridges, and schools realize that they'll also need to find a way to pay for them, possibly through higher taxes. Some university police carry pepper spray, batons, and other weapons, but not firearms. As Amanda Vinicky reports, a measure approved by the Illinois House requires schools to let police carry guns on campus.
Boards of trustees make the rules at universities and colleges, and at some Illinois schools, trustees have decided campus security units cannot carry guns. But Democratic State Representative Linda Chapalavia of Aurora says, in the interest of student safety, it's time for the legislature to take control. The proposal now before the Illinois Senate would make it illegal for community colleges and private and public universities to prohibit trained, sworn police officers from carrying guns.
The university's boards, they're very powerful people, and they want things done their way at their universities. But they also have to understand our world is changing as far as terrorism, as far as mental illness.
However, critics say the state should not be interfering, especially with private institutions that don't receive state dollars. Chapalavia says she'll consider that point and may exempt those schools, but she may also take the opposite direction and try to apply the concepts to high schools as well. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A spokesman from the Illinois Campus Law Enforcement Association says there's currently no tally of which Illinois higher education institutions employ sworn police officers and of those which schools allow the officers to carry firearms. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The United States and Canada are trying to figure out how to keep new invasive species out of the Great Lakes. 185 have already snuck in, costing the region billions of dollars a year. Many hitchhiked in the ballast tanks of foreign cargo ships. Both countries want the public to know they're doing something about the problem, so they invited journalists to the port of Montreal to see how ballast tanks are tested for invasive species. David Summerstein of the Environment Report was one of those reporters.
A couple dozen reporters crowd the deck of the cargo ship Federal Kivalina. Cameras click, pencils scribble, and tape rolls as a man in a bright orange uniform steps forward to test for invasive species.
My name is Mohammed Sangre.
Sangre is the bosun, the crew chief. He slides what looks like a metal tape measure down a tube. It's the opening of one of the Kivalina's 16 ballast tanks.
Touch to the bottom now. The bob touch to the bottom.
The tape hits the tank bottom, and Sangre reels it back up. Terry Jordan, a St. Lawrence Seaway official, is waiting with the handheld gizmo. It's a refractometer that tests water salinity. He carefully places a drop of ballast water on it.
All it takes is like one drop of water on the refractive lens, okay?
Jordan peers through the refractometer's lens. It reads 38 parts salt per 1,000 parts water. Recent scientific studies show that concentration of salt water kills up to 99% of the organisms hidden in these ballast tanks. That's important because those critters can compete with native species and damage whole ecosystems. David Reed is a researcher with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
That salinity was very effective at killing many of the organisms that we would expect to be able to survive in the Great Lakes.
So for the first time this year, all ships voyaging into the Great Lakes have to do something that sounds like a mouthwash ad.
Swish and spit.
Yeah, swish and spit. Terry Jordan says on its way across the ocean, the ship flushes its ballast tanks with salt water and presumably kills potential invasive species. The refractometer test is proof of the swish and spit. If the ship fails, its ballast tank is sealed and its owner is fined up to $36,000. Swish and spit has been voluntary for years. Environmentalists say the new mandatory rules are a step in the right direction, but too little and way too late.
Some would argue that the dam has already burst.
Hugh McIsaac specializes in invasive species at the Great Lakes Institute for Environmental Research in Windsor, Ontario. He says if ships were swishing and spitting from the beginning, we might have been able to prevent the zebra mussel, round goby, and other invasions. But McIsaac warns there are other species lurking on the horizon, like one in Germany, ominously called the killer shrimp.
And so any protective measures that we put in place today that would prevent or retard their ability to get in, I would welcome.
Scientists doubt anything can be foolproof. Invasive species still can hide other places on the ship. And the new rules do nothing to stop saltwater invaders, like the mitten crab, from attacking ports on the east and west coasts. Terry Johnson is the St. Lawrence Seaway's U.S. administrator. He says swish and spit is a huge step forward for the Great Lakes.
So does that mean that it is absolutely, definitely 100% positively assured that there won't be invasives coming in with these new regulations? No, it doesn't. But it dramatically reduces the risk.
Congress is considering even tougher rules that would force shippers to install cutting-edge ballast cleansing systems. The proposals could cost up to $1 million per vessel. The Bush administration has threatened to veto. For the Environment Report, I'm David Summerstein.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Meteorologist Scott Olthoff says there's a chance of thunderstorms this morning and this afternoon in western Illinois, but the rest of the two-state area should remain mostly sunny today, with highs ranging from around 70 in the far north to 78 in the far south, so more seasonable weather today. Mostly cloudy tonight, with showers and thunderstorms likely across Illinois and Indiana, lows ranging from 51 north to 61 south. For tomorrow, in Illinois, becoming partly sunny again. In Indiana, a few morning showers, then partly sunny. Highs from 61 north to 71 south. The high in Champaign-Urbana today, 75. It'll be rather windy, with south winds at 15 to 25 miles an hour, gusts over 30. Some showers and thunderstorms in 58 tonight. 68 the forecast for tomorrow, as the showers end early. Clouding up again on Thursday with a chance of showers and a high of 65. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 13th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.